ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमम् देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासम् ततो जयमुदीरयेत् नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवतसेवया भगवति उत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी कृष्णे स्वधामोपगते धर्मज्ञानादिभिः सह कलौ नष्टतृषाम् एष पुराणार्कोऽधुनोदितः ग्रन्थराज श्रीमद्भागवतम् की जय. This is the fifth canto, chapter 13, entitled Rahugana Converses with Jarabharata, and we are on text 23 today. So please repeat. Namo Mahalbhyaha Astu Namaha Shishubhyaha Namaha Yuvabhyo Nama Avatubhya Ye Brahmana Gam Avadhuta Lingaha Charanti Dhebhyaha Shivam Astu Ragnyam Namo Mahadbhyostu Namah Shishubhyo Namo Yuvabhyo Namah Avartubhyaha Ye Brahmanagam Avadhuta Lingas Charanti Tebhya Shivam Astu Ragnyam Namo Mahadbhyostu Namah Shishubhyo Namo Yuvabhyo Namah Avartubhya Ye Brahmanagam Avadhuta Lingash Charanti Tebhya Shivam Astu Ragnyam Namo Mahadbhyostu Namah Shishubhyo Namo Yuvabhyo Namah Avartubhya Ye Brahmanagam Avadhuta Lingash Charanti Tebhya Shivam Astu Ragnyam Namo Mahadbhyostu Namah Shishubhyo Namo Yuvabhyo Namah Avartubhyo Ye Brahmanagam Avaling Charanti Tebhya Shivam Astu Ragnyam Namo Mahadbhyostu Namah Shishubhyo Namo Yuvabhyo Namah Avartubhyo Ye Brahmanagam Avadhuta Lingash Charanti Tebhya Shivam Astu Ragnyam Namo Mahadbhyostu Namah Shishubhyo Namo Yuvabhyo Namah Avartubhyo Ye Brahmanagam Avadhuta Lingash charanti te bhya shivam astu ragnyam. Anyone else, ladies? Namo mahadbhyostu namah shishubhyo. Namo yuvabhyo mana avartubhyo. Ye brahmanagam avadhutalingash. Charanti tebhya shivam asturagnyam. Namaha. All obeisances. Mahadhyaha. Unto the great personalities. Astu. Let there be. Namaha. My obeisances. Shishubhyaha. Unto those great personalities who appear as boys. Namaha. Respectful obeisances. Yivabhyaha. Unto those who appear as young men. Namaha. Respectful obeisances. Avartubhyaha. Unto those who appear as children. Ye, all those who, brahmanaha, self-realized in transcendental knowledge, gam, the earth, avadhuta lingaha, who remain hidden under different bodily guises. Charanti, they traverse, tebhyaha, from them, shivam, astu, let there be all good fortune, ragnyam, unto the royal dynasties, or kings, who are always very puffed up. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the great personalities, whether they walk on the earth's surface as children, young boys, avadhutas, or great brahmanas, even if they are hidden under different guises. I offer my respects to all of them. By their mercy, may there be good fortune in the royal dynasties that are always offending them. Please repeat. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the great personalities, whether they walk on the earth's surface as children, young boys, avadhutas, or great brahmanas, even if they are hidden under different guises, I offer my respects to all of them. By their mercy, may there be good fortune in the royal dynasties that are always offending them. Purport. King Rahugana was very repentant because he had forced Jadabharata to carry his palanquin. He therefore began offering prayers to all kinds of brahmanas and self-realized persons, even though they might be playing like children or hiding in some guises. The four kumaras walked everywhere in the guise of five-year-old boys. And similarly, there are many brahmanas, knowers of Brahman, who traverse the globe either as young men, children, or avadhutas. Being puffed up due to their position, the royal dynasties generally offend these great personalities. Therefore, King Rahugana began to offer his respectful obeisances unto them, so that the offensive royal dynasties might not glide down into a hellish condition. If one offends a great personality, the Supreme Personality of Godhead does not excuse one, although the great personalities themselves might not take offense. Maharaj Ambarish was offended by Durvasa, who even approached Lord Vishnu for pardon. Lord Vishnu would not grant him pardon. Therefore, he had to fall down at the lotus feet of Maharaj Ambarisha, even though Maharaj Ambarisha was a kshatriya or a grihastha. One should be very careful not to offend the lotus feet of Vaishnavas and Brahmanas. Om Agnana Tibirantasya Gnananjana Shilakaya Chakshurun Minitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Nama Mukham Karoti Vachalam Pangum Lankayate Girim, Yet Kripata Mahambande, Sri Gurum Dinatarnam. Vanchakalpatrubhyascha, Kripa Sindhu Pavacha, Paritanam Pavanebhyo, Vaishnavebhyo Namonama. Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prahunityananda, Sri Advaita Garadhara Shivas Adi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Namo Mahadbhyo, Astu Namashishubhyo, Namo Yuvabhyo, Nama Avatubhyaha, Ye Brahmana Gam Avadhuta Lingash Charanti, Tebhya Shivam Astu Ragnyam. So this is a very beautiful prayer he's offering at the conclusion of this discussion between Maharaj Rahugana and Jadabharata. Maharaj Rahugana has definitely been enlightened by his interaction with this great sage, this Brahmana, who was wandering in the form of an Avadhuta Linga, most purified personality, but he was acting as if he was an Avatu, Vatubhya. Here it said Avatubhya, acting as if he was a Vatu. Vatu means a boy or someone who's childish, even if he's not a boy. So, we know the story of Jadabharata. He was self-realized in his last life. He was not quite perfect. He had to take one more birth. And because he was so cautious and sober about that fact, he vowed not to become involved in any kind of illusion again in the present birth as Jadabharata. And so he played as if he were deaf and dumb and retarded and whatnot. And he was mistreated throughout his whole life as a result of that, but he didn't mind. His brothers and all of his siblings mistreated him. And when he was younger, everyone used to make fun of him. He apparently couldn't learn anything. Then later on, they tried to sacrifice him because they thought, here's a person will never amount to anything in life. Sometimes they do that for sense gratification in modern civilization as well. When there is a group of persons who consider that someone's life is worthless, they try to sacrifice him, farm his organs, sell them for big profit. There's big scandals you get in hospitals every once in a while. So Jadabharata was acting like this. He was exactly what is being described here by the king. So Sridhar Swami, commenting on this verse, he says, Brahmaveda kena rupena vicharantiti agnyanat sarvan namasyati nama iti. He's offering his obeisances how many times? At least four times in this verse. Because he's conscious that these persons in whatever form, they may be coming as Brahmavids. They may be Brahmavidas, learned in Brahman. Kena rupena, no matter what form they come in. Ye bhatava kridaratatvad ashadhya dhodayas tan api abhivyapya sarve bhyonama iti artha. He says, this means that although it's unbelievable that someone who is fit to be a palanquin carrier is actually included in this category. Therefore, he uses the word sarvebhya. Sridhar Swami says, sarvebhya means all these persons. And here there are four persons who are mentioned. The mahats, the shishus, the yuvan, and the vatus. And as well as brahmanas. Brahmana means, another category here is avadhuta lingas. Those who are appearing as if avadhutas. What is an avadhuta? What does avadhuta mean? Everybody knows avadhuta. Avadhuta, literally it means the one who is washed clean, purified. But generally, in terms of, at least in Srimad Bhagavatam and other Vedic literatures, avadhuta is a person who is so transcendental, so cleaned, so purified, that he doesn't even feel any obligation. He's not compelled to follow standard conventions of social behavior or even religious injunctions. He doesn't necessarily follow those things. And this was certainly the case with Jadabharat. So it seemed that he follows in this last category here of brahmanas, who are avadhutas. So Sridhar Swami says, sarvan, sarvebhyo. He's offering his obeisances to all of them. And finally, sadrishtante radagnyam mahadavagnyam sambhavyaha. He mentions particularly the that may there be all auspiciousness by their mercy, tebhya, in the dynasties of the kings, ragnyam, in order to show respect for this principle of being very conscious of the fact that sometimes great souls will appear in these unexpected forms. The word ashraddhaya is used by all the commentators, means surprising, unbelievable, hard to put your faith in that thing. Ashraddhaya, unbelievable. So he gives this his own example. He was one of those kings who was just assuming this guy's a knucklehead. He's good for nothing except carrying my palanquin. But he was quite surprised after Jadabharata opened his mouth and began speaking. So he was thinking, according to Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, the king was thinking that if you had not given me this instruction, then what would have happened? What kind of aparadhas would I have committed? And what kind of aparadhas would those in the future commit if this example were not known, if this had not happened? What kind of goal would they have reached? So this is all implied here by the word sambhavya. He wants to show respect for this principle. There's one, don't usually quote Hindi authors, but there's one poet he said very neatly, Tulasi is sansar mein sabse milya bhai, na jaane kis roop mein narayan mil jaye. In this world, we should be very respectful to everyone, because you never know in what form Lord Narayan is going to come to you. So it's not that everyone is Narayan, but the fact of the matter is that we don't really know who anyone is. We don't really know. It's been seen throughout the Srimad Bhagavatam that great souls, they come in any form. Here there are four mentioned. Mahat, that's clear, the great souls, they usually distinguish themselves. Shishu, even as children, babies. Shishu means baby. Who comes as an infant? Self-realized brahmagyanis in the form of infant. Srila Prabhupada mentions the four Kumars. There are others as well. We have quite a few of them, actually, in our literature. Dhruva, Prahlada, the four Kumars. Even arguably, you could say Narad Muni was included in that category. He was a boy when he was enlightened by the great Bhaktivedantas. So they may come as Shishus. Yuva Bhyo, who's a Yuva? Yuva means like a teenage boy. Shukdev Goswami comes to mind also. Avato, even up to and including the Vatus. Vatu means either he's a boy or he's just like a boy. Naive, we can say. So ye brahmanagam avadhuta lingash, whatever they are covering, whatever form they may be coming in upon this earth, charanti, they are wandering around, may they be, give their blessings. May they give their blessings. So he was conscious of his offense. So Srila Prabhupada mentions here now, being puffed up due to their position, royal dynasties generally offend these great personalities. And we see that in the case of Maharaj Ruhugana and Jadabharata, there was no exception to this rule. So, therefore, King Ruhugana began to offer his respectful obeisances unto them, so that the royal offensive royal dynasties might not glide down into a hellish condition. And then he continues, he says, he concludes his purport here, saying, if one offends a great personality, the Supreme Personality of Godhead does not excuse one, even though the great personalities themselves might not take offense. It's interesting, because in this particular example, Jadabharata, the next verse states that he actually did experience some, he was a little bit disturbed. He was in some ways dissatisfied with the behavior of the king, Maharaj Ruhugana. But because he was merciful, Sridhar Swami explains, he didn't really consider that. He thought it more important to give the person some instruction than to take offense at what the king had done. Anyway, that's tomorrow's verse. But generally the Vaishnavas don't take offense, but Krishna is very disturbed. If not, not only Vaishnavas, even any saintly person, any transcendentalist, it's not a good idea to offend them. The word is here used, mahat, any great soul. Anyone who utilizes the human form of life properly, thus setting an example for the rest of society and making advancement while one can, that person is considered to be mahat, a great soul. And so he says, namo mahadpyo, I offer my respectful obeisances unto them. So generally a Vaishnava doesn't take offense, but even if he does take offense, one has to be very careful in dealing with them. And Prabhupada gives the example of Maharaj Amparish. Even he approached Lord Vishnu to get freed from the reactions of his activities, and Lord Vishnu would not respond. He had to go back to Maharaj Amparish himself, the person whom he had offended. Even though Durvasa Muni was one of the great sages, and even though Maharaj Amparish was acting as a grihastha kshatriya, this is all implied here. When we say hidden under different guises, generally, Prabhupada says here, the royal order is offensive and puffed up, and generally the grihasthas are also attached to sense gratification, and Maharaj Amparish was both a grihastha and a kshatriya, yet still he was a great devotee. And again, Prahlad Maharaj, Dhruva Maharaj, even Narad Muni was testing Dhruva Maharaj in the beginning to see, is he really just a vadu, a little boy, innocent, foolish, or is he really there? So we don't know. Therefore, we have to be careful. This is the concluding sentence. One should be very careful not to offend the lotus feet of Vaishnavas and Brahmanas. There's a nice verse Srila Prabhupada sometimes used to quote. Brahma janati iti brahmanaha. The person who knows Brahman, he is the Brahmana. So the Vaishnavas and the Brahmanas, they're both exalted, even though one is personalist and the other generally impersonalist. But one has to be careful with either one. So these are some things we can think about with this verse. Does anyone have any questions or comments? Dr. Karma Prabhu? Well, in this case, there's two things that I can see. Srila Prabhupada mentions here, being puffed up due to their position, royal dynasties generally offend great personalities who are hiding in roles that are socially inferior. They may not be brahmanas, they may not even be kshatriyas, they may be vaishyas, they may be grihastas, they may be women, they may be children, we don't know. On a social level, the question is, for those who can't hear, Jhutakarmapur was asking, first of all, what kind of offenses might a kshatriya, a king, commit in towards someone who is evidently suitable for carrying his palanquin? And secondly, what is the harm in acting as in your proper capacity as a king, a person who is in a superior position to, say, the Shudra, who is meant for manual labor? Where is the harm? How can you offend someone if that person is actually hiding from you? Anyone else have any ideas about this? I have some ideas, but I'd like to hear some. Go ahead. Very nice. Amala Bhakta Prabhu has said that even though he may have been a king, still the responsibility also goes along with the rights of a king. A king has a right to employ others in his service, but the king also has the obligation to set an example that others can follow. Now, what I was going to say about this is that dharma is a very tricky subject, very complex subject. Exhaustive literature on dharma and its all of its nuances and applications in human society. It's really quite sophisticated concept. Generally, the sophistication of the concept of dharma is, we can say, hidden by its simple translation into terms like either religion or faith or property or this sort of thing. But in addition to the varna and ashrama dharma, there is sadharana dharma, which is a generic obligation for all living beings to act with in terms of ethical conventions, which I think is basically what you're suggesting. Whether he may be a king or a brahmana or a vaishya or a shudra, whether he may be a brahmachari or a grihastha or a vanaprastha or a sannyasi, everyone is expected to act with respect to other living entities and to not abuse anyone, either with harsh speech or with insulting connotations and that sort of thing. This is called sadharana dharma. Srila Prabhupada mentions it in various places indirectly. Anyway, that's one thing. Secondly, in terms of varnashram dharma, within the varnashram system itself, the king also has to consider that there is something transcendental to that. There is a parodharma. There is a higher dharma than just this social system for social, what Krishna calls social solidarity, loka sangraha in Bhagavad Gita. If the material world were all that there is, and if Varnashram was the supreme attainment in human life, then it might be arguable that any king, including Maharaj Shuhugana, could exploit a Shudra or even abuse a Shudra for his own advancement, and then that would possibly be good for that person as well. But there does happen to be a higher truth. There is a transcendental reality. Within the spiritual realm, there is no question of anyone being higher or lower than anyone else, at least not comparable to the gradations of high and low that we find in this material world. And everyone has their eternal spiritual identity, which is actually respectable. So this has to be kept in mind. And evidently it wasn't in his mind, or at least that was the example he was setting. He was perhaps another one of these hidden avadhutas, Maharaj Rahugana. We don't really know. But anyway, so the fact that this person is hiding his position, Jadabharata, deliberately acting as in a way that is actually inferior to his real standing, it doesn't excuse the kinds of harsh treatment that Rahugana was giving him, it seems to me. That's what I would say, at least. Does anyone else have any ideas about this? Any other questions or comments? So we'll stop here. Thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.
How's your mother doing? She's...